Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kalish Leviel, and I'm the practitioner of the day. My pronouns are she, her, and my ancestors come from, well, my mom came from Czechoslovakia, and my dad's father came from Lithuania. And I'm glad to be here in Bellingham. Practitioners. So if you see somebody wearing a stole, you can call on us to do prayers for you. And if you want, every day, Monday through Friday, regardless of if it's a holiday or not, we get up and do prayers for anybody who comes to the Zoom session where we do that. And it's one of my favorite activities. So I look forward to seeing you or not seeing you, because you don't have to have your camera on. So let me do an opening prayer right now, knowing that there is only one infinite divine love that is in me, through me, as me, for me, with me, always. It cannot be any other way. I am attached at all parts of my body to the divine love. And I am connected here with each and every one of you and each and every one of us. And I know that today's message will be all about whatever it needs to be about so that the Seahawks win today. And we're so grateful, and I thank you.
Second time I've ever worn jeans on the pulpit. But what matches with a jersey, you know? You got to go for the jeans, so. I have a challenge for you. I want you to stand up. I know. Oh, what's she going to say? Okay, I want you to take a step to the right, to the left, forward, whatever way. Just take one step. Now I want you to look back to where you were. You have become a new person. It's that easy. The thing that makes a difference is you choosing to take action. Go ahead and have a seat. See, I asked you to do something and you acted. And life is simple as that. Are you willing to take action? Are you willing to do something that's out of your comfort zone? Are you willing to hear that at the beginning of the season there was 60-1 odds? And now find the Seahawks favored to win. But it took action. That's what we're in. We're in a place of action. Life is a game, some people call it. But the question is, are you playing the game? Are you actually part of the game? Are you taking action in the game? My name is Abigail Shire. For those of you who don't have any idea who I am, you walked in for the first time, you're like, who the heck is this? Well, I'm the new spiritual director here, and it is a pleasure to be here. And my pronouns are she and her. My ancestors, they hail from Germany, from Ireland, and from Prussia. We're not quite sure where, because we think my great, great, great uncle might have been a spy. He knew 34 languages, and we knew he came from somewhere in that area. So, one of the things that I love about this teaching is we have this treat and move your feet. I think I talked about that before. Treat and move your feet. We have this saying. And people who haven't been here are like, what the heck does that mean? Treat? Is that like an ice cream cone or, you know, a great day? Yes. No, actually, it's spiritual mind treatment. So one of the teachings that we have here is a way of affirmative prayer, which we call spiritual mind treatment. And so the invitation is to do your affirmative prayers and then take action that's in alignment with your prayers. Take action that's in alignment of your prayers. Act as if that thing that you already affirmed and you knew for your life was happening and was unfolding. Take me, for instance. I moved out of my house and I have not bought a house yet. So I wasn't here last week. My wife and I were packing everything up. We got our pod put away in the, you know, storage place, and we moved out of the house that we've been living in. I have been living at Beverly Leonard's house, but my wife has been living at our house in Linwood, and now it's me and my wife and my cat all at Beverly's house. So, and we haven't found a place to land yet, and we haven't put our house up for sale either. We're in the in-between. And yet I know that if you called me here to be the spiritual director, that there's a house waiting for me. There's something right and perfect in alignment. And I've got to say, it's a little uncomfortable to take those actions and to know that the truth is unfolding. And yet I'm still taking the actions. I'm still knowing that Bellingham is my right and perfect place. Even though the spiritual director of the center that I left just announced her retirement. And I walked into Center for Spiritual Living Seattle for the first time in almost a year, and people were like, are you coming back? And I said, no. No. Yeah. Because I know this is my home, and that seven-year time period I had at Center for Spiritual Living Seattle was prepping me to be here. Yeah. And so sometimes life turns out differently than we expect, but it, for me, has turned out better than I expect. And it takes a little time to process through that. When I was leaving my job a year ago, it was really uncomfortable to be in the unknowing, to be in the, I know I want to be a spiritual director at a center, I don't know where I'm going, and I've been on this in-between walking the edge journey. And that's our theme this month, is living on the edge of life. And the invitation is to take not just your inner edge, but to bring it into the outer world. Are you taking actions that are in alignment with that uncomfortable growth edge that allows you to be the most magnificent person you can be in the world? Most of us don't stand on the edge on the top of a mountaintop. We stand on the edge in everyday ordinary decisions. It's the opportunity where you might speak up instead of being quiet, where you tell the truth even when it's uncomfortable. You choose integrity instead of approval. You step into a calling without a guarantee. You say no when you used to overgive. You say yes in places where you used to hide. And what are those areas in your own life where you know that there is an evolutionary calling for yourself? Where are those places? Think about your finances. Think about your relationships. Think about your community experience. Who have you come here to be? And what have you come here to share? See, a community is a team sport. It is. Being in community. And the cool thing about any sports team is that everybody relies on each other's strengths. They find out what your strengths are, and then they utilize them for the benefit of all. And that's what it's like being in community. And everybody shares their strengths, and everybody wins when that happens. And here, we encourage you to not just practice the ordinary, but to become extraordinary. And sometimes that means you need to be walking on the edge, going into those places, those uncomfortable places that cause you to grow. In indigenous traditions, there are initiates. And what do? They go out into the wilderness. Several indigenous communities send their kids, teenagers, out into the wilderness to have an experience of the sacred and the holy. And they come back as an adult, a changed person, because they were able to connect with the universe, to connect with nature, to follow their own intuition, and to know that the greater planet is serving them. And they listen to that. And they discover more about themselves by going out into the wilderness. Jesus did that. He went out into the wilderness too. And so all of us have a time in our lives where we need to take a step out into the wilderness to do something that's uncomfortable, that's past our comfort zone, and trust that the universe is fully supporting us in that. See, that's the beauty of this teaching. I talk about God or source or spirit or universe. You can use whatever word you use. Some people say goddess. Some people say the quantum field. But whatever it is, it's consciousness itself that is everywhere present. It is throughout all time and space, and it is beyond time and space. And the great news is it's conspiring for your greatest good. And so even if something challenging is happening in your life, how can it be conspiring for your greatest good? And that's where our growth opportunity is. I felt like I was in a job for 7 years that I had one intention, and that intention wasn't unfolding. And I knew that there was a greater good out there for me, but I didn't know what it was. And so I took a courageous step to leave that job. And then I found you. Come on. You're so evidence that stuff works right here, right now. And I'm really, really grateful. I'm really, really grateful. People ask me if I'm happy, and I'm like, yes, I'm really happy. But it was a year out in the wilderness, a year of uncomfortableness, a year of not knowing, how are my finances going to work out? How is this going to happen? And thing after thing came into fruition that made it possible. One of the things that I want to encourage you to listen to is your body. Sometimes your body knows before you know. I remember whenever my wife and I were dating, I had just gotten out of a relationship that I was in love, and my ex-fiance had left me for somebody else, and I was really heartbroken. And then I met Gina, and we were seeing each other, but I didn't really want to be in a relationship because I didn't want to have my heart broken again. Anybody ever felt that way? It's like, oh gosh, I'm not doing this. I'm not doing a relationship. I'm just gonna date. I'm just gonna keep dating. And then I realized I might be head over heels for this woman. And I did one of those, what do you call those little things that you, a pendulum. So the thing about a pendulum is you put it in front of your heart space and you hold it and you can ask it, what does yes mean? And it does, like it usually does one thing. What does no mean? It does something else. And so it responds to the electrical field in your body. So our electrical fields, they say go out a minimum of like 8 feet in front of us, behind us, around us. So all of our electrical fields, they're all intermingling. But I asked the pendulum, I said, am I in love with Gina? You know, and I'm just like, what does yes mean? Am I in love with Gina? And I was freaking out. I was like, oh my God, is this true? Am I really in love with her? And I had to really check in, and the answer was yes. And I was being really stupid because I was just like, no, we're just dating, no, we're just dating, no, we're just dating. And finally I got to the point of realizing that I needed to take a relationship to the next level because I was head over heels for her. And I didn't want to lose her. And that was over 20 years ago, so I'm super grateful. I'm super grateful, but there was something inside of me that already knew the answer. And then I was looking for something external to tell me, but the external thing was just telling me what I already knew internally. Our bodies often know. I've had classes, and the class, one class I do fills up really quickly, and then the next class after that, there's something like two people sign up for the class. And I'm like, oh, should I cancel the class? Should I stop? You know, and I go ahead and cancel the class. This happened last year. I canceled the class. And then my cousin's husband passed away unexpectedly. And I was able to fly to Arizona and be with her in that time. I don't know how somewhere internally when I checked in to cancel the class and it said yes, I didn't know that was going to happen, but something somewhere in consciousness knew the right and perfect thing was for me to cancel the class. I can tell you I did feel a sense of relief and spaciousness, and I didn't understand why. So now I try and check in. Is this the right thing to do? What does my body say? You don't have to use an external thing. You could just check in and say, how does yes feel? How does no feel? Should I buy this house? How does yes feel? How does no feel? And just check in, because your body knows. There's an intelligence that's beyond the brain that the body knows. Even with eating foods that might be serving our bodies and not serving our bodies. Each and everybody's metabolism and way of being is completely different. But there is an intelligence underneath it that always informs us. So are we listening to ourselves? Are we listening to our own bodies? Because consciousness is beyond our brain. The next thing I wanted to tell you is the edge is where your becoming gets real. There's a Zen teaching that says enlightenment isn't measured by what you understand, but how your life actually looks. And I don't mean like being wealthy versus not being wealthy, because I can tell you there's a bunch of wealthy people that are really unhappy. There's a lot of people who are in poverty that are in joy. So the question is, where are you on the inside? No matter what your outer circumstances are, where are you on the inside? Are you walking through life in a place of peace and harmony? Are you walking throughout this life in a place of taking a stand for love? I was thinking about this because I got, two things. One is February is Black History Month. And the second thing is I went to Isabel Wilkerson's talk on Friday at Mount Baker Theater. And I've read her book, Cast, which is, I want to say it's a difficult book. I listen to audiobooks. It's a difficult book because she illustrates the history of America and various things that have happened to people because of the color of their skin, and brought a bunch of insight into my own understanding of why things are unfolding the way they are today. And she didn't write the book to bring me down. Although I will say there was a lot of uncomfortable things to realize about our own country. She wrote the book because she believes that we are in a place of resilience, that we're in a place of being at cause for a different paradigm. And I really, really love that there's somebody out there taking a stand for a new paradigm, for making a difference that is about a world that works for everybody. Because at Centers for Spiritual Living, that's our vision, is creating a world that works for all. And if it's not working for one group of people, it's not working for all. And so how do we create that world? How do we create something where people aren't disenfranchised? How do we create that? I honestly, in some ways, I don't know, but I do know that it causes me to speak up and say things that make a difference, to take a stand for love. I wasn't alive during the civil rights movement. Some of you were. But I think that that was one of the most spiritual movements that have ever happened in this country. And the reason why, Dr. Martin Luther King, he went to India and he studied with Gandhi. And Gandhi had done a movement of people called the Untouchables, which were, they have a caste system in India. Well, I'll say had, but they still do. And the bottom of the barrel where people were born into were called the Untouchables. And so people had, in the caste system, it's like wherever you're born, that's where you get to stay. You can't go above or below because that's your divine right place to be. That's kind of a paradigm that used to be in India, is breaking now because they used to have laws around it. There's no laws now around it, but there's still history. But Gandhi, whenever he did his nonviolent movement, he was taking a stand for love, taking a stand for peace. And when Martin Luther King was doing that in this country, he took his knowledge of what he learned in India and he brought it here. He encouraged people to stand in front of guns with the idea of peace in mind. That is the hugest act of courage I can ever imagine. To be willing to take a stand for peace in spite of violence. Sit-ins, walk-ins, so many different activities happened, marches. But they were all marches with a vision of a world, or at least a country, that works for everyone. And that's the kind of paradigm when you get a group of people who come together with an idea of peace that can make a huge difference in the world. But it takes a collective movement of people willing to take a stand, willing to say, I don't like the way that this is unfolding. But the way that I want it to unfold is the way that I'm going to walk into. That's what we mean, again, to treat and move your feet. So if I say a prayer or an affirmation and I'm envisioning a world that works for everyone, then I get to take a stand and take actions that are in alignment with that kind of world. And that's the place of courage. I did I officiated a memorial yesterday. Some people in the room know from my friend Deb Peters, who passed away. And one of the things that I love, one of the stories that her husband Pete told me, which I told at the memorial, was that she was afraid of heights. And when she went to France with her husband Pete, she went to the top of the Arc de Triomphe. And when she looked across the city, her eyes filled with tears of joy because it was so beautiful. And I feel like that's such a perfect metaphor for us. We can have fear and yet go up to the higher heights and to act in alignment of what it looks like to be in a place of high consciousness, to see the world filled with beauty and love, even though it's scary to take those actions. And so today, I encourage you to ask yourself, where am I feeling that edge? What place can I be standing in that's in alignment with the vision that I want to see? And it could be the vision that you see out in the world. It could be the vision that you see in the country. It could be the vision that you see in your relationship. And sometimes that takes courage, but it also takes action. And it's as simple as just taking a step to the left or in front, and to just do it, as Nike would say. So I encourage you this week, I want to encourage you to make some brave choices. Make one small choice that reflects your deeper truth. Not a dramatic choice, not a heroic choice, but just take action in a way that reflects who you are. Maybe it's speaking up in a way you haven't before. Maybe it's being more authentic. Maybe it's wearing a jersey for the first time ever on a pulpit. And I want you to listen to your body. Think whenever you say, is this right, or is this mine to do, is this not mine to do? Is this decision better for me, or is this decision better for me? Just ask yourself the question, then pay attention to how you feel in your body. Because if it's in alignment, you'll feel a sense of freedom. And if it's not in alignment, you might feel tension and difficulty. And I do want to clarify one thing, that sometimes the excitement of doing something new feels like fear. Have you ever been on a roller coaster? And you're going over that edge, and you can interpret that little drop in your stomach just going over the edge as absolute fear, or you can interpret it as absolute excitement. So you know if you are acting in alignment with your vision and you feel that feeling, you could just say, oh, that's excitement. Because I'm going on the downhill roller coaster and I got all the wind blowing in my face and I got everything conspiring to bring me to my greatest good. And the last thing I want you to do is to remember to be open at the top. So that's our theme this year, being open at the top. And that means that we are ever evolving, ever growing, ever thriving in new and unprecedented ways. And when one person on the team grows and steps into that growth point, the entire team is lifted up because of it. So let's do that together this month, this year, and especially today. Go Seahawks.